Good morning and blessed Christmas to all that are here. Do trust that this day will be a joyful one for you and your families, and that you will find your supreme joy, your greatest joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we remember the occasion of his entry into the world and the events that followed. And as we turn our attention in Revelation now to his return one day, I'll just make mention while you're turning there that we will be in this passage again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at our regular service. I'm doing an entry today, just one verse, which will be behind me in the screen in a moment, and then we'll do a fuller look at it tomorrow. This is just a short message this morning on the occasion. And while you're turning there in Revelation 19, let me just say for our visitors that we've been going through this book now for nearly 2 years. And while there are things that might seem strange to us as we read it, you know, most of the mystery is removed when we understand that it is a vision and that the language is full of symbolism. It's in much the same way that we would allow for artistic expression in poetry. That's what's going on in the language of Revelation. It is visionary, symbolic language, and that will help us to understand it. So let me read from verse 11 down through to verse 16, just to get the broader context, but I'll only be focusing on just verse 11. I'll read and then we'll pray, and then we'll begin. Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a joy it has been to sing these songs, these hymns, these truths, declaring aloud with one united voice that you have sent your Son to save sinners. Father, this is a wonder to us, and we rejoice to know that it is a truth that has been handed down and preserved and heralded for nearly 2,000 years now, Lord. And it is exciting to us, Lord, and we are even more excited as we look to where it leads, as we look to the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, and finally, Lord, to your return and to the establishment of righteousness over this whole earth. And this God, well, it fills us, Lord, with joy. Now, as we turn to this word that speaks of such things, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your help. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit would move among us to apply its truths, either to refresh and remind us of them and to thrill us with them, or to warn and convict by them. But, Lord, all the same, it is your word, and we pray it will not return to you empty, but will accomplish the purpose for which it is given. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. It is an event that stirs the hearts of many here this morning. memories of your own childhood celebrations of Christmas, wonder at this humble entry of God into the world, a spirit of celebration that has inspired all the carols that we love to hear. And I have no desire to take any of that from you. The birth of Christ at Bethlehem is something that deserves more, not less, attention. This, after all, is the moment when the Creator of the universe stepped into His creation. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. So if it is within you this morning to hear of such things and want to respond to them with praise and awe and adoration and thanksgiving, then by all means do so. This is what we call the Advent, the arrival of a notable person. And who is more notable than God Himself? Rejoice in this. My only encouragement would be to you to not stop here, but to go further than the manger, to go further than Bethlehem, to continue to read and hear the testimony of the Bible concerning this Jesus Christ, who He is, what He said, how He died, when He was raised and ascended to heaven above, and most especially for our purposes, His second advent, His second coming into the world. Because while this first Christmas arrival lies behind us, there is to be a second entry of Christ into creation. And that is a time when there shall be great rejoicing for the true Christian, but also great and unending sorrow for those who do not love and obey the living God. And it's what we've been reading about now in Revelation 19:11, a part of the Bible that is describing in graphic detail, with symbolic language, the return of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did you see what we were reading there? I mean, this is away from the manger. Now riding instead the risen Lord Jesus, the winepress will tread. In other words, no more gentle Jesus, meek and mild, as far His enemies as they are concerned. Look again there, just a single verse 11. Note firstly that heaven is opened, and behold, we see a rider upon a white horse. When it's opened, it's just a way of saying that something's going to be revealed to us. Heaven is opened so that we can see. And the first thing we see is this rider on a white horse. And again, we need to appreciate this as the original readers of Revelation would have. For centuries, conquerors would arrive in parades where they would ride in triumphs upon a white horse or in a chariot pulled by white horses. It meant militaristic accomplishment. And you see, this now is how this rider appears to us. This is the manner of Jesus' return. Not in a manger, not with cattle lowing, not wrapped in swaddling cloths, not in a small town called Bethlehem, but He returns as the ultimate victor, the triumphant King, the absolute and all-sovereign monarch, whose reign and justice will be seen and acknowledged by every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He arrives upon a white horse. Then note secondly, the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And I've already tipped my hand and I've told you this is Jesus, but here again is confirmation, because early in Revelation, Jesus is called the Faithful and True Witness. But what does it mean? And why isn't He called Witness here? And again, this isn't hard to understand. God is faithful. Faithful to do as He says He will. Faithful to keep His word of blessing to His people, faithful to follow through with His threats against His enemies. And God is true, which amounts to much the same thing, a declaration of His faithfulness, His truthfulness to Himself, but also stressing that everything that He has told us is trustworthy. It doesn't need to be validated. He doesn't seek or need the approval of man. Who is the source and standard of absolute truth and morality? It is the rider upon this white horse. It is Jesus Christ, God with us. So we had best find ourselves in agreement with him and everything he says, because not to be so would be to call him a liar and not the truth, and it would be ourselves to be self-deceived. He is the faithful and true one, and he comes not now as a witness. The job of witness here is at an end. He is born witness to himself. The Spirit is born witness to him through the message of the church. He comes now at the end of the time of witness. He comes in himself to bring judgment and salvation. And then thirdly, note that when Christ comes in this second advent, it will be in righteousness that he judges and makes war. He is righteous. He is right and holy and blameless and pure in every respect in himself. And he acts righteously. He passes judgment, renders punishment in a manner that is altogether right and holy and blameless and pure. Perfect justice for every crime, every corruption, every perversion, every depravity, every sin that was ever done on the surface of the earth, every wicked thought, every careless word, every evil deed, Jesus renders righteous judgment. And so total will be this exposure and this justice, so far-reaching across the nations and all the peoples of the earth, that it is described as a war. God warring against proud sinners who refuse him, unleashing his wrath upon creation. Another book of the Bible, which without my realizing it, Matt also chose, and there's the providence of God, in 2 Peter 3, it describes in graphic detail this return, saying, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done on it will be exposed. Yeah, you know, away from the manger, now riding instead the risen Lord Jesus, the winepress will tread. The stars in the bright sky burn up and away, the reigning Lord Jesus avenging this day. The nations are wailing, the judgment awakes, the ruling Lord Jesus his triumph does stake. This is what it will be like when he returns. You say, well, you know, how does this offer any hope? Well, for those who want nothing to do with Jesus Christ, it's clearly not a hopeful picture. Instead, it is a picture of hell and doom. But for those of you whose hope is in the Lord, who desire to know him, those who give glory to God and trust in his Son, these things do not represent the end, not the end absolute, but the beginning of something better, of heaven come down to earth, of Jesus Christ coming to renew and restore creation to its pre-sin perfection, and more besides. This is what you live for if you're a Christian. This is what you pray for. You are eager to see him. You long towards this day. We love you, Lord Jesus. Come down from the sky and fetch now your bride, the true church of Christ. Be near us, Lord Jesus, to keep us this day close by you forever, lest we fall away. Restore us to Eden in your tender care, and fit us with grace to live with you there. You see, as Christians, as much as we love to look back at the history and appreciate the first Christmas arrival of the Son, and well we should, we also look forward with great anticipation to his return. It shall be a day of unparalleled wonders, a day that leads to eternal festivities, not just a once off Christmas lunch that we have to wait for another year to get to the next one. Our God, he is coming again. But to those of you who are still strangers to God, who neither worship him nor give him thanks, who have yet to offer a full and unconditional allegiance to this Jesus Christ, understand the Lord is returning. And he comes to gather those that love and obey him in the gospel. And he comes to bring wrath upon those who refuse to give him glory. Away from the manger, now riding instead, the risen Lord Jesus, the winepress will tread. But now, today, this is the season of reconciliation with this warring God who wars against sinners. This is the day when God extends the olive branch, holds out to us a treatise of peace, who offers to wash away sin and do away with any verdict that would otherwise justly come upon us and put His wrath upon another in our place, because He sent into this world His Son, Jesus called the Christ, whose birth we are remembering today. And this Jesus lived a blameless life, a perfect life, the life we should have lived, the life that we haven't lived. And He died a sacrificial death on behalf of sinners upon a cross. He was raised on the third day to show that His offering on that cross was satisfactory. He was vindicated in what He had done. And He left a message of the free gift of salvation. The message is, repent, turn from your sins and turn to God, turn to Him, and believe this good news of His life, death, and resurrection, and you will be saved. Trust in Christ and His death on your behalf. Bind yourself to Him through simple faith in His character and His deeds, not your own. And then you may enter into the hope of the Christian having peace with God and eternal life beyond the grave. Bow now to this Jesus while there is yet time. Believe in His gospel, the cross where He died. Flee the just judgment, receive now His grace. Repent of your sins and see then His face. Away from the manger, with robes crimson red, this Jesus is coming, He raises the dead. Away from the manger, though remember it still, rejoice at this coming and obey now His will. Will you pray with me? Especially the church, will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we, Goodwood Baptist Church, call on Your name, inviting all other Christians that may be visiting to join us. And we ask, God, that these great truths, which are too great to be hidden, too great to be ignored, would be widely known, and that You'd be pleased to use us to make them known, that You would impress them upon the hearts of many this day in churches throughout the world as they gather to worship, and through the witness of Your people wherever they may find themselves. May that come, this truth come through open proclamation, through prayers at meal tables. May it come through songs, scripture readings. May it come through the voices of children. But do we ask, glorify Your Son in the preaching and sharing of the gospel and in the gathering of sinners to Yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll pick up reading in the last words of 2 Peter chapter 3. We read most of it earlier on. How appropriate that we can finish it now. It says, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. And God's people said, Amen.